Good morning, church.
Good
to see all of you here, and I'm a little surprised by the number of people that are here. I think a lot of people have considered this to be kind of like a, you know, it's like happy Sunday between Christmas and New Year's. We'll show up if we feel like it, or if we're not still in that sugar coma from Christmas or whatever. But anyways, this is a great crowd, and we had a great crowd at 9 o'clock, and we're glad that you're here, and we're having some fun with this here today with the kiddos in here as well. And I want to say that the message I'm going to preach, which is I'm going to preach a shorter message today. Amen. I queued that one up for you guys. Come on. We're a shorter message, but it's based on, if you've not heard, this is based on a longer message that I preached in September when we launched our ministry year, and it's in a passage, we'll see it in a moment, in Isaiah 43, it talks about God doing a new thing, so it fit really well with going into the new ministry year, so I've kind of rebooted that message, we've changed things up a little bit in terms of the wording to make it a little bit more kid-friendly, and you're going to see that as we go along here, but if you would like to, if you haven't watched that message from September, put a link in the notes to that at hbc.info, and you can watch that full message from early September on this passage. Actually, a little bit, a few more verses than what we're going to be looking at here today. So if you're ready for the message, just say ready.
Ready.
Like about 20 of you. I would say that was about 20 of you are ready, and the rest of you are not quite ready, but maybe we'll pick you up along the way. I'm going to assume, because Christmas was just a few days ago, I'm going to assume that you got something new for Christmas. How many people got something new for Christmas? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you got something new for Christmas. I'll wait until you all raise your hand. All right. Right. I'm glad you got something new for Christmas. Anybody get something like really great for Christmas, something new that they would like to share just out loud right now? Anybody, what'd you get? I don't even know what that is, but Nintendo Switch is what I heard, and I think that's pretty cool, probably. Way over here, yes. Say it loud. Wow, I heard the first word Lego, and that's awesome. Dorothy, what'd you get?
I have my family here from London.
From London, nice. That's awesome. Welcome, London family. Glad you're here. One more.
He got a recycling truck from Santa.
A recycling truck. Nice. Way to teach community values in a toy. Super. Well, I hope you all got something new and something you love. And what's really great about the Lord is that the Lord loves new things too, as much as we do, and maybe more. And he told his people, and here, I'm going to put the verse up on the screen for you. Isaiah 43:19 says, God says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? And that just means it's happening right now. Can't you see it? God is doing a new thing. And when he said this, the Lord was getting his people ready for something that was about to happen in the world that was going to change everything for his people, and indeed was going to set in motion some things that were going to change everything for the entire world. And he wanted them to know along the way some important things that would help them get ready for this new thing that he was doing. And as we stand on this day, the 29th, kind of saying goodbye in a few days to 2024 and looking forward to saying hello in a couple of days to 2025, I hope that we all will say, I would really like it if God would do a new thing in my life as this new year begins. And that we would want that for ourselves, and we would want it for our families, and we would want it for our friends, and we would want it for our church community as well. And so this passage, we're going to look at this passage for a few minutes, and it's going to help us understand what God said back then in terms of a new thing for his people Israel, and then we're going to see how that applies to us, how that's going to work for us today as we anticipate God doing a new thing in all of our lives as well. So let me read just two of the verses in Isaiah 43, and I'm going to read verses 18 and 19. God says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, as a new year begins, this is the big idea of the message that we want to look at. As a new year begins, I will listen to what God says is important. And when we talk about this new thing that God wants to do, what are the important things we need to understand about that new thing? And when we're talking about the new thing, mostly what we're talking about is God's desire for us to grow as Christians, to grow as believers, to grow deeper in our faith, deeper in our understanding of who He is. And so what are the things that God says are important if this new thing is going to happen in my life? Number one, we're going to look at five of these. Number one, I'll look for God's power in my life. I'm going to look for God's power in my life. Now, when God first said what I just read in Isaiah 43, it was a long, long time ago. And when He said it to His people, things were going along in their lives fairly well. They were a blessed people. They were prosperous and things were going well in the country. But there was a challenging time that was coming up for them, a date that's marked in history. It was coming up fast, and God wanted to remind them that He was going to be with them through that, that the same God that had been with them in the past was the same God that was blessing them in the present and would be the same God that was going to be with them in the future when the change came. And in this case, the change was a difficult season for the nation of Israel. The God of the past, the same as the God of the present, same as the God of the future. And that's what He wanted to remind them of. And He gives them an example here in a couple of the verses I didn't read just prior. The Israelis, of course, had been in Egypt, and the Pharaoh there had enslaved them. And with Moses' help, they had escaped out of Egypt. And the Egyptian army had pursued them. And you'll know this story from Exodus chapter 14, of course. And in the few verses in front of the ones that I read in Isaiah 43, God says, I made a way. When you were running away from Pharaoh, when he was chasing you, I made a way in the sea and a path in mighty waters. And if you know the story of the Exodus, you know how the waters parted and the Israelites went through on dry ground and got to the other side. He goes on to say in Isaiah 43:17, and He took care of the chariot and the horse and the army and the warrior, the Pharaoh's army. He took care of that by the waters falling back over them, and the Israelites were safe on the other side. And God is saying to them, and He's saying to us, you can trust me. When I say that even when things get really hard, I want you to know that in those difficult seasons, you can trust me because I'm going to be with you and I'm going to help you through it no matter what it is. And when we think about seeing God's power in life, we might say, like, what's the best way for me to see that God is working in my life? And the best way to do that is to be close to Him, to be intimate with the Father. And the best way to create that closeness to God is to talk to Him. And this is one of the hardest things that Christians have to do is prayer, talking to the Lord. And in our church, we believe we have these four pillars that we believe. And one of our pillars is believing firmly in the power of prayer. And we believe firmly actually in the God of prayer, the power of the God of prayer. And we want to talk to Him. And as we talk to Him and grow in our conversation with God, we're going to see Him more and more working in our lives. We're going to see His power evident in our life. He wants us to talk to Him. And so as we think about just even understanding how I'm going to apply this in the new year, and it's not difficult for us each to write down and make a commitment right now, whether we're a big person or a small person, we can all say in 2025, I want to see the power of God in my life. And I know that the way I'm going to see that is if I talk to Him more, if I pray to Him more. And we could all just simply make a pledge right now. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to talk to God more in 2025. That's not hard to think of in terms of a goal, is it? And we could all write that down. And we could all, even if we're really good at talking to God, we could all talk to Him more and become more intimate and closer to Him in that way. So that's the first one. I will listen to what God says is important. Number one, I'll look for God's power in my life. Here's a second one. I'll put the past behind me. I'm going to put the past behind me. Now, God told them, verse 18, one of the verses we read, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Now, he wants us to remember, in a sense, the things that he's done in the past, because there's a lesson that we can draw off of that, but he doesn't want us living in the past. He doesn't want us dwelling on the past. He doesn't want the past consuming our present. He wants us to put the former things behind us. He wants us to move on from, and this is interesting, he wants us to move on from the hard times that we went through, and you can see why that's obvious, but God also wants us to move past the good times and the times of blessing so that we can actually see that that he's doing a good thing in our life right now and not just dwelling on the good old days that might have been part of our past. He doesn't want us to dwell on the past. And the older you get, and I feel like I can say this at my age with the experience that I've had, the number of years that I've been around, I feel like I can say that the older you get, the more days you put behind you, the more tempting it is to try and live in those days. Oh, I remember the good old days, or I remember what it was like when. You know, and maybe some of you have said that even in the past week with your family around. Oh, I remember Christmas back in the 60s, you know, like I remember what it was like when, you know, and God doesn't want us dwelling on the past. He wants us to move beyond it. God says that it's time to move on. God wants us to see and experience a new thing, the thing that he's doing in the moment. And again, it doesn't matter if the thing in the past was a good thing or the thing in the past was a bad thing. It's so easy to focus on that too much and miss the thing that God is doing in the moment. Now, one of the smart guys that I consulted and studied before I wrote this message back in September, he said this, the past can teach. In other words, there's lessons that we can learn from the past. But he said, it must not bind. We shouldn't be tied down. We shouldn't be shackled to the past. The gaze or our focus must ever be forward to what God will yet do. And here we are standing like just a few days from a new year starting. And I know how we all like that reboot and we're going to start over again. And I just wonder if you're going into 2025 with some eager anticipation of the thing that God might do in the new year. I hope you're excited about it. And listen, if you're a Christian who understands what the Bible teaches, you can actually be in anticipation of what he might do next year, even if it is a good thing or a bad thing. The good thing's obvious. If God does a great thing for us and it's blessing that flows our way in 2025, I receive that and I'm happy to get that. And it would be awesome to see God do that. But if God sends hardship my way, if God sends a trial my way, if 2025, which none of us knows what's going to happen next year, we don't know how our year is going to play out. But if a hard thing comes my way, I know that I'm still going to grow and learn in the midst of that. Because God uses these trials in my life to grow my faith and to grow my endurance. And whether it's good or bad, no matter what happens in 2025, we're not going to look back to 2024. We're going to thank God for what he's doing in the moment. All right. Ready for number three? I told you this was shorter. We're already on the third one. That's awesome. Nobody wants to clap for me or anything. No, it's fine. Whatever. Insincere. You only did it because I asked for it. Number three, here we go. I'll trust the promise God makes. I'll trust the promise that God makes. So God said, verse 19, we read this. Behold, I am doing, here's the promise. I am doing a new thing. That's the promise. And I am. It's confident. I am doing a new thing. He says, now it springs forth. Don't you see it? This promise was to Israel. And it happened a long time before Jesus was born on the earth. And it's so important that as we think about promises, because like we make promises to each other all the time. Like parents make promises to kids, and parents, if you make a promise to your kids, you should keep that promise. Kids, you make promises to your parents, I'll clean my room, I'll do this, I'll do that. You should keep your promise. Moms and dads make promises to each other. They should keep their vows, keep their promises. Husbands and wives, you should keep those promises. Friends make promises to each other. Those promises should be kept. But we're human and we're sinful, and sometimes we break our promises. And the awesome thing about the promises of God is the fact that he never breaks his promises. Amen? God is the perfect promise keeper. He always keeps his promises. And again, this promise was to Israel. It happened a long time before Jesus was born, about 600-700 years before he was born on earth. And God wanted to remind the people all those hundreds of years prior that he wanted them. I'm going to use a word here that's more of a big person word, but he wanted them to flourish. He wanted them to be blessed. He wanted them to have good things from his hand. He wanted them to grow stronger as believers. He wanted them to grow in their trust and their faith in him. Even when it gets hard, God is going to keep his promises. God will make a way. This is the verse we heard. God will make a way in the wilderness. You go out in the wilderness, you get lost. There's no markers. You don't know where to go. You're confused. And it's a metaphor. And sometimes we get into situations in our life, difficult situations in our life. We're just going like, I don't know the way out. I don't know which way to go. I don't know if I should turn to the right or the left. I don't know if it's up or down. I don't know what decision to make in this moment. And God says, when you're in the midst of that wilderness, I will make a way out of it. Then he gives a second metaphor. He says, I'm going to give you rivers in the desert. The desert is a dry place. Water is hard to come by. You can become very thirsty. You have this need. When you're so parched and so thirsty, you can actually shrivel up and die. And God says, in the midst of that dry desert place, I'm going to make rivers flow for you. I'm going to bring blessing into your life, and you're going to know that I'm a promise keeper. And this is the promise that God makes, that whether we're in the wilderness or whether we're in a desert place or whatever it is, God saves us. God comes through for us. Now, I said that this promise was made long before Jesus came. And the Jewish people received it for what it was, a promise from their God. But the promise was all tied up in the fact that Jesus was going to come and Jesus was going to fulfill everything and make it possible for God to keep his promises to his people. He did that. We just celebrated Christmas. He did that by being born. And while we celebrate Christmas, the Nativity, he came, God himself, the eternally existent God, Jesus came to earth, took on human flesh, lived among us, and experienced life as we experience it, except he was without sin. He lived his life largely in obscurity, but he grew, and people were blessed by him, even in his growing up years. And around the age of 30, he started his public ministry, and for 3 years, he taught about the kingdom of God, and he pointed people to the way of salvation through himself. And then he gave his life on the cross, a sacrifice of the Son for us. Jesus dying in our place. Jesus paying the penalty for our sin by shedding his blood on the cross. And he died on that cross. And on the third day, having been buried in the tomb, he was raised to new life. And now we await his return. And every bit of the promises of God are fulfilled in what Jesus Christ did for us, in giving his life for us. And no matter what we're going to go through in 2025, whether it's a big thing or a small thing, the reality is that God is going to keep his promise. He's going to make a way for us. He's going to allow rivers to flow in our lives to help us through the big and the small things, the good and the bad things. Here's a fourth. I'll be what God wants me to be. This is one of the most important things we can hear as we think about God doing a new thing in our life. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. A little later in the passage, beyond what I read, verse 20, God calls the people of Israel his chosen people. And we know that God wants us, this is something that God has now passed on to us, and God wants each of us to be part of his family. The Apostle John wrote in this amazing first chapter of his gospel, to all who did receive him, he's talking to believers now, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, to be adopted into his family. And two of the important words in this verse are receive and believed. Have we received the message of the gospel, and have we believed it and confessed our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? And if you've done that, if you've called on the name of the Lord, then you are part of his family. You are his son or his daughter, which is now the church. And if that's true for you, then the being part of this is you should now be part of this family with all that that entails. Now we just had Christmas. Many families got together and had a lot of fun together at Christmas. Some families got together at Christmas and did not have any fun, because that's families. Some people didn't get together, and that was a good thing. And some people didn't get together, and that was a hard thing. And we have all these different family systems and the way the whole thing works, and some of it is good and some of it isn't, and some of it hurts and some of it's a blessing. But we still try, and we're still part of the family. And you know, the family of God's exactly the same. It's not perfect. The church is the family of God. Families can be messy, and the church family can be messy. And God says, I still want you to be part of my family. So no one's checking out on it because they're saying, you know what? Those people are a mess. Of course they're a mess. They're a family. That's the way families are, even church families. And so we accept it and we say, it's our family and we're going to work to make it the best family that we can possibly have. And here's what that can look like. Here's what that should look like. A man named Shane Pruitt, he's a pastor. He wrote this on X. And I thought this was helpful. He said, don't just attend church. Love the church. Now think about this in terms of family. Don't just attend the family. You could insert that word. Love the family. Serve the church. Give through the church. Invite people to church. Worship Jesus with the church. Encourage the church. Participate in the church. Pray for the church. And be the church. Be the family of God. That's what he wants from us. Now, by the way, that list, none of that saves you. That's not the thing that saves you. You don't do a bunch of things and get saved. You are saved because Jesus Christ gave his grace to you. Jordan started our service by talking about the good and kind gift of God's grace, the undeserved and unmerited favor of God in our lives. God gives us that and we receive it by faith. But all of these things are going to help us be part of the family, to feel like we're genuinely part of the church. And I want to be what God wants me to be. He wants me to be in his family. And then finally this, in this new year, I'll do what God wants me to do. Verse 21 of that passage, he talks about the people he formed for himself, that they should declare his praise. And we think about praise or we think about worship. And again, we say this almost every time that we talk about worship as a reminder that worship for the Christian is not the thing you do on Sunday morning while we sing the songs, that somehow that's the worship and then anything else is not worship. Worship for the Christian is 24/7. It is a way of life. We worship as the very fabric of who we are as Christians. And so in essence, our lives at every moment declare the praise or ought to declare the praise of God. And beyond that, what God has given me to do as a worshiper is to engage in his mission in the world. And the mission, the way we stated at Harvest, we exist to glorify God or to please God, to glorify God by making more and better disciples of Jesus who love God and love people. That's the mission. Make more and better disciples of Jesus. And that's what he wants you and me to do. He wants us to be better disciples and to make more disciples, to tell people about Jesus and invite them to become Christians, to have Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And when we do that, we please him. We glorify him. And of all the things that we've talked about here, if we distill it all down to one thing, say, like, what is the one most important thing of these five important things? It's to glorify God. It's to please him. The catechism says that. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. To please God in every possible way. Now, I'm gonna teach you something here, a little phrase. It's a three-word phrase. Maybe some of you came into 2024 in January and you said, you know what I'm going to do this year? I feel like I need to learn Latin. How many people went into 2024 saying you needed to learn Latin? Nobody? No, really? That's shocking, really. But anyways, for anybody who did think they wanted to learn Latin this year, I'm going to teach you a Latin phrase so you can check the box on that and say, you know what? I accomplished my goals. to learn Latin this year. So I'm going to teach you this phrase, and this, again, this is the most important thing that any Christian can do. It's part of the five solas of the Reformation, and it's this phrase right here. We're going to put up on the screen. Soli Deo Gloria. Soli Deo Gloria. Why don't you say it with me? Soli Deo Gloria. Say it one more time.
Soli Deo Gloria.
And that means glory to God alone. Glory to God alone. And that's what God wants you to do. That's what's going to make 2025 awesome, an amazing year, as God does a new thing in your life. And again, let me remind you, it could be that the new thing God wants to do is a good thing filled with blessing. And it could be that the thing that God wants to do in your life is a hard thing and a trial that he wants you to go through. And no matter whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, the thing you can say through the whole thing is soli Deo Gloria. Glory to God alone for what he wants to do, the new thing that he wants to do in my life. Soli Deo Gloria. Amen? Let me pray for us. Father, I do thank you for these five important priorities that should be in our life. God, thank you that it is your heart and your desire to do a new thing, God, and you've wanted that for every generation of believers, for every believer individually. God, you want to be constantly renewing us and making us more like Jesus. And so, God, I pray that we would go into this new year. God, we would go in glorifying you, desiring to glorify you in all things, and that you would do an awesome new work in each one of our lives. And we pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.